Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Happy Monday. What, Carl, why do I sound like...
There we go.
You sounded like you were in a tin can.
I was in a barrel.
No, you still... You're hot, too.
What is happening?
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, not like that.
Every audio engineer's worst nightmare. You walk in the door and the microphones are overmodulated.
I mean, you sound like you're in a tin can right now.
Honestly, both of you, like, so on a scale of 1 to 10, I would normally have you at 8.
Yes.
You're at 4.
Oh, man, I thought you said I was hot.
No, I guess you're half as hot as you normally are.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Carl. What a way to start a day off. Isn't that great?
That's fantastic. And it's raining.
It was pouring in spots when I came in. You're going to hit some bands of really heavy rain. Be careful out there this morning, because I'm sure Sue Thomas is up and at him already, and she's probably already got a list of problems as long as your leg. This is the kind of rain that causes a little bit of problem in those low-lying areas. You know where you are, so just give yourself some extra time out the door this morning. Not a bad idea at all. Hope you had a great weekend. What'd you do all weekend, Kim? Watch Easton?
We did redo some of our bedroom. We've been in the process of redoing that.
I thought you were a deer hunting widow this weekend.
No, that's next weekend.
Oh.
The opening season
was Saturday.
I know, but it worked out. My brothers-in-law are going with them, and they had to put on a seminar in Iowa that they had to teach at, and so they weren't able to go, so they're all going next weekend.
I see. Well, I went this weekend, just so you know. I was in the woods at 5:30 a.m. Saturday morning after a very late night on Friday night. Got about 2 hours of sleep, and I sat in the woods all morning.
And did not see a deer.
Saw three deer.
And?
It was a small doe and two of her offspring. Clearly, they weren't babies, but I opted not to do that.
Aww.
And then we went and had lunch, and then we went back into the woods and sat for another 5 or 6 hours. And just at dark, I finally got a deer, right at dark.
You did get one.
I got a buck, medium-sized buck.
Nice.
Yeah. So right about, the sun was down at whatever time it was, just before
4:45, right, usually?
Just before 5, and probably 10 after 5 is when I saw this deer walking up the trail toward me.
So will your family eat the deer meat?
Yeah, the deer sausage is usually what their preference.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some backstrap, if properly prepared, that is just about better than any steak I've ever eaten. If it's prepared properly, you have to know some. My friend Stan is really good at that.
Put it in chili, and it's great. I mean, I agree. Sometimes it can taste a little bit gamey, but if you cook it right, to your point, you can. It really, it's good.
You do. So that occupied my Saturday, and then I didn't have to go out Sunday because I got one on Saturday. It's good. I might go back out next weekend. We'll see.
Oh, my gosh.
We shall see.
Of course.
My son didn't get to go, so he might go next weekend. I might go with him. Anyway, we got lots to get to. We got Hans von Spakovsky, who I'm thrilled to talk to about the results of this election. How smooth was it? I think Hans is probably taking a closer look at that and what the difference was this time versus 4 years ago. I want to pick his brain on that, and also maybe any thoughts he has on this ethics committee investigation on Matt Gaetz and whether or not they can release this stuff publicly. We'll get to him a little later. We're going to talk to Jesse Jane Duff. You know where she was on election night?
Yeah, she was at Mar-a-Lago with Trump.
She was partying.
Well, she was, okay, was she there actually election night? I know she was there for the recent A1 policy gala.
And she was there for that for sure, because I know I saw her picture just the other day. She posted this weekend, and she was there with Sylvester Stallone and some of the others. So mm-hmm. I'm anxious to talk to her about that. About 8:20 this morning, we'll get to her. But Carl, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
Let's hope so.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Nope.
We're not doing them.
Hold on. Mark, I want to press this button and see if this works.
Okay.
Did you hear it? Wow, everything died.
I don't hear anything, Carl.
I don't hear anything either. All right. Wow.
Well, come back to me and we'll figure out what's happening here. Don't you think?
I guess.
let's
Whoa.
Do I have audio over here, Carl?
Nothing's...
Listen to this. Let's try to play this. Hold on.
Can say without hesitation that this is the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history because of the scale and the foreknowledge of the harm that they were unleashing on human beings around the world.
That is Dr. Naomi Wolf, who has a new book out, Kim, exposing Pfizer and the Pfizer vaccine, and what she has to say will absolutely shock you. She's uncovered this. She's put it in a book. The fact that they haven't filed a lawsuit against her yet must mean she's on to something.
Yeah, I still can't.
Nope, it's not rolling.
Wait a minute.
This is the Mondayest of all Mondays.
It is. No kidding. What happened over the weekend? Did we get hit by lightning or something?
They're saying they can't hear you, but I hear you really loudly.
Who's they, Carl?
Ethan is out monitoring, except...
Oh.
Hold on. Don't say anything for a second. I'm going to reset your microphone. Because, you know. Now say something.
Check, test. God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is everybody awake?
Who can't hear me? Like over the air?
I don't know.
All right. Well, so we go.
I know they came in and changed a whole bunch of stuff over the weekend.
Over the weekend?
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's why you couldn't print today.
Oh, yeah. But what did they do in here? That's really the ultimate question.
It seems that they took a big axe and just started swinging away.
Well, maybe we'll have to call our buddy this morning and wake him up early. What do you think?
I just pressed this button.
I mean, this is just in keeping with the way my morning has gone so far, because morning I was so tired, I put facial moisturizer on my toothbrush, and I was like an inch from my teeth, and I realized I did it, and I obviously washed it off, and then I decided I'm just going to straight up throw my toothbrush away, and I had a spare one.
Yeah.
So there's that. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday. All right, Carl. But my audio is playing over here. Is that correct?
Yeah, let's see if this works.
Just that yours isn't.
Oh, wow. That's really damn loud. Here, let's try that.
Your name has been floated to fill Senator Marco Rubio's seat. Do you want to go be a disruptor in the Senate?
Well, you know, there have been crazier things that Trumps have done in the past.
Yeah, Laura Trump. Nobody has asked me yet, but... Yeah, ooh, look at me. I'd be really interested in...
I wish I knew what was going on. I'd
be really interested in that job if it came along. Somebody just texted me, Carl, and said, Kim sounds fine, you're super weak, and Carl is weak as well.
I'm strong, you guys are weak. Is that what he's trying to say? So first of all, Carl's called Mark hot. Now I'm strong, you guys are weak. What a morning.
Woman power.
Well, that's great.
I'm not close enough to another mic to change mics right now. I'll just need to talk louder.
That says we're off the air.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
We need to wake somebody up, I guess. I don't know why we're not on the air.
That's a halfway decent imitation, Carl. Uh-huh. Of the person we probably need to wake up this morning. Anyway, but it is raining out there. Sometimes, I'm not saying always. Sometimes when there is heavy rain, we do have some problems with that HD signal at our transmitter site. But I don't know that that's got anything to do with the
now
fact that
Sue can't hear us.
I am weak. Wow. This is just a great way to start off a Monday, isn't it? No. All right. No, it's not. No, I know. You know, I tell you what. We'll get to a break here. We'll let Carl play with this in the meantime and see if we can figure out what's going on.
Sue, can you hear us now?
No, pot her back down in case she can't, because she'll say something and not be expected to hear
beep,
it.
Beep, 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 beep. You know Sue, potty mouth, and just always cursing.
Yes. Well, I don't mean that. I mean, she just might. You always want to know when your mic is on. That's
I'm kidding,
I'm
by the way. Sue is not. No, I don't think I've ever heard Sue curse.
No. Anyway, we'll take a quick break here so that we can try to get this thing figured out. Carl, do we have our national anthem ready to go this morning?
Yeah, I love Chris Stapleton. We're just going to play him.
All right,
tonight.
Let's do that.
What I'm really excited about is that the political correctness, the sort of woke era is over, because you need mob mentality momentum in order to keep that going, in order to threaten people if they're not thinking and talking the way you do, to threaten their lives, threaten their careers, threaten their place in society. You need that momentum in order to do that. And when Trump won presidency again, that cut that momentum off. So this whole woke era is over.
Wow. Woke is dead, according to Justine Bateman, the actress, this weekend. She believes this Trump victory should end all that nonsense. Do you buy that at all?
No.
I don't buy it at all.
I wish. I don't think it's ever going to be done. I think they're going to continue to try to push their agenda, possibly even harder, because obviously it's going to be an uphill battle, because Trump's going to come in and slash a lot of these ridiculous woke, you know, DEI, for example, policies.
I would agree. You know, the funny thing about it is I was I don't watch the Bill Maher show routinely. I try to avoid it, because he is still a hard lefty, but he's one of the most honest of all of them. And a little later, I'm going to play you a soundbite from William Shatner, of all people. He had Bill Shatner on his show this weekend, and Shatner is, of course, part of the he's part of the Hollywood left, of course, and he's stunned by the outcome of the election. Now, why do you think he's stunned by the outcome of the election? Because he's bought into this is what you have to understand. It's the mindset of the left in America. They don't understand what happened to them. They don't understand what happened to them because they don't think they are doing anything wrong. They haven't awakened to the fact that people are tired of identity politics. Just listen to the first, 40 seconds of this interview with Bill Maher and William Shatner, and you get the idea. Listen.
You know, people, she was not a great candidate, let's be honest.
Why isn't she a great candidate? She combined several trends of thought here. Black, woman.
That's not a candidate. Those are... You know, that's identity politics. That's one of the Democrats.
Those are elements.
I mean, she was black. She was a woman.
She checked the boxes.
Why wasn't she a great candidate?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill. Earth to Bill. I don't know if he's still up there on the USS Enterprise or what. She was incapable of stringing two thoughts together. The American people saw through that. It was more than just her policies, because we weren't quite sure what her policies were, to be very honest with you. We don't know what her policies were, except very vaguely, you know, joy, happiness, something for everyone.
And sadly, that seemed to be enough for millions and millions of people.
But to people in Hollywood, like William Shatner, the people throwing their money behind this losing cause, these idiots spent $1 billion on a woman that couldn't string two sentences together, and now they don't understand what happened. Well, she fit several trends here. Black woman. And Bill Maher, who's an honest liberal, says, wait a minute, all that is identity politics. That's not a candidate. That doesn't define the candidate. You know, your ideal candidate might be, you know, a midget black lesbian. Maybe that's your ideal candidate. But unless that person's got something to offer to the conversation or a policy that speaks to Americans, That shouldn't be enough to get them elected to that position.
The person leading up Kamala's campaign should never hold a role like that again. I don't know if it was their suggestion to really have her never explain where she stands on anything, because yes, that was awful. I understand in certain circumstances that would maybe make sense where you would kind of be vague about it, but not when you're running for president of the United States and people are looking for some insight into where you stand on these things and what 4 years under your leadership, or potentially eight, would look like.
Yeah, I would agree with that. By the way, if you're experiencing any audio difficulties this morning, we're working on it. Something's going on our board. Carl, I just got a new text from somebody that said, now I'm loud and Kim is weak.
Yeah, except.
I am also getting messages from people telling me that they were having a few problems with the over-the-air signal, but when they went to the Odyssey app, they were able to hear us just fine. So if that's your situation this morning, if you're watching on one of the live streams, Facebook, whatever happens to be,
if you don't feed the
let
cow,
us know how it's
you
going.
Won't get any milk.
Okay.
Let's leave on that note.
We'll just let it go on that note, and we'll be back with Kim on a Whim. Go feed the cow, Carl.
Kim on a Whim.
Did anybody else feel like we were back in, I don't know, the 90s, early 2000s, when we all used to have to do that to sign on to AOL, AIM? I remember that.
I do.
You'd put your away message on and try to be
all creative.
Oh my
God, that's irritating. Yeah.
So irritating. You know what else was so irritating, Mark? Netflix's latest attempt to stream a live event, okay? Let me just tell you, I'm not into boxing, okay? My husband wanted to watch the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, right? Because it's a 58-year-old guy trying to take on a 27-year-old. It's Mike Tyson. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it, okay? I knew nothing about it. We don't even have Netflix, so we're like, you know what? Whatever, let's just get it for this event. We'll make an event out of it. We'll invite my parents over. We're going to have wings and whatever.
It was fixed.
First of all, it was 5 hours long, guys. 5 hours long, basically, to get to Mike Tyson and Jake Paul for that.
You didn't watch it for 5 hours, did you?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But now let me clarify.
Kim, can I just tell you that you are a good wife?
Undercards?
You are a good wife.
I don't know squat about boxing, okay? I got into it, okay? I thought
Michael should have known that.
No, we didn't know much about it. I mean, I'm sure he knew there'd be other fights, but I don't think anybody... Let me clarify. I don't think anybody in my household knew it would be a five-hour event. But here's the
problem. Oh, yes, he did. He just didn't tell you.
No, he doesn't know much about boxing either.
Well, yeah, but these events always start with the undercard. There are four or five fights.
Yeah,
sure.
That's
they want to give you your money's worth.
Well, here's the problem, Netflix. You're terrible, and you don't know how to do live events. You tried with some show, whatever, Love is Blind, and that was an epic fail, so everyone was already frustrated about that. This was, I think, their second big attempt, and what do you know? It was like we went back in our time machines to the AOL dial-up era, and you couldn't ever get through because the little, you know, circle just went around and around and around.
Buffer,
everybody
buffer.
Was buffering for like we missed half the fights.
Here's the weird part. Was it happening on the undercards too?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I didn't know
the
that.
Whole thing.
It was like seriously 80% of it.
I tuned in as they were announcing the winner of the women's match just before, which apparently was a much better fight than the main fight.
It really was.
And then I watched the I watched them come out. I hear the bell ring. I watched two or three punches freeze, get thrown, and then it freezes, right? And the little dial is mm-hmm. on my screen.
Ethan said he was so buffered that he was seeing who won on Twitter before did even
so
start.
So was I.
So I pulled it up on my phone, and on my phone it was already the third round of eight. While it was still frozen at one on my TV. It was weird. It was more up to date on my phone than it was on my TV, and they're both on the same Wi-Fi. I don't know what the difference was, but the mobile app worked better than the television.
Listen to this. Apparently 60 million people tuned in for that fight at AT&T Stadium, which of course is in Arlington, Texas. And Netflix comes out and says this unprecedented scale created many technical challenges, which the launch team tackled brilliantly by prioritizing stability of the stream for the majority of the viewers. I don't think anybody who watched that would feel that way. And here's the thing. I'm tired of people saying this is unprecedented. Like, they were trying to say that with the election. I'm sorry, St. Charles County, but how do we not know at this point that there's going to be a lot of interest? Like, how did we not know it was going to be a big voter turnout in this election? How did Netflix not know that a lot of people were going to be interested in trying to see this matchup? Why did they not plan for it? I'm not technical. I don't pretend to know how to do this. I'm sure things come up. Exhibit A, our studio this morning. But it seems like there should have been things done before the live event to make sure that didn't happen, even if there were, say, 60 million people trying to tune in.
They're going to have an NFL game on Christmas Day.
And the Chiefs are all, yeah. And a lot of people are worried now about their ability to stream that. And people like me who bought Netflix for the 1 month, you know, time span just to be able to watch this fight are very disappointed. Now, I was also disappointed in Mike Tyson's fight because let me just say this, okay? It's impressive. The guy is still ripped. It's impressive that he could even get out there and box 8 rounds with a 27-year-old. He didn't get knocked down. I do think Jake Paul, and I don't know anything about that guy until I watched that fight, it seems as though he went a little soft on him. You know, they were flashing up statistics about him, and it said that he's at least knocked down or knocked out every single opponent. I think he could.
He's only had 10 fights.
I don't care. I think he could have knocked. I think he could have knocked down.
He's not fighting legitimate contenders for a title.
Tyson was gassed within, and yes, he I guess had a bum knee, but he was gassed in the third round. He looked decent the first and second round, and then it was almost like he was just defending himself. Like, he was, I know he said he took like 97 punches or whatever, but I don't know. Again, impressive, I guess, that the guy got out there, but I don't know who thought that Tyson was going to be this. I guess Tyson thought that. It seemed like he went out there thinking he would win. Do you have the soundbite, Carl, of what Tyson said after the interview when the guy said, are you proud of your performance out there?
You know, 58, a lot of people thought you shouldn't be here. A lot of people thought you'd be done and dusted in the first round. Do you feel like you proved the world wrong, that you could at least go 8 rounds with a younger man?
I didn't prove nothing to anybody, only to myself. I'm not one of those guys that look to please the world. I'm just happy with what I can do.
Now, I did think that was a pretty good answer. Right?
I think the fix was in. I'll be real honest with you. I think that he lured Mike Tyson out of retirement with the promise of a $20 million payday. Tyson has historically had financial problems, and I don't think he ever intended for there was ever a plan for Mike Tyson to have a chance to win that fight. I don't think that was ever the plan. And I think Tyson gave it a half-hearted attempt because Jake Paul is not that good of a fighter. He's just not. I said the best meme I saw this weekend was Jake Paul with a bat in his hand, and said they were gonna dig up Babe Ruth, and he was gonna have a home run hitting contest with him. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. No, I saw that they were saying that Jake Paul was gonna challenge Biden to a match and like Jimmy Carter to a match and see if he could beat him.
No, I don't. I'm not. Jake Paul's a showman. He's. I'm not saying that he's incapable of boxing. It looks like he might have had some skills, but he's not fighting contenders for the heavyweight title. He's fighting somebody who's 30 years older than him and hadn't fought in 15 years.
Mm-hmm. That's actually not true. Didn't he fight in? I mean, he basically is coming out of retirement, but he did fight in 2020. But I think it was like one boxing match, right?
Yeah.
So more or less, you're right. Now, I do think, and I miss most of this fight, but the fight between the two women, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano,
was apparently controversial.
Yeah, because that girl, Katie, who won, was headbutting the girl, and the Amanda girl had a massive gash on her, just below her eyebrow, that looked like it was going to require several stitches. And it sounds like this Katie girl is known for headbutting. Like, that is her little thing that she does. Which, by the way, you can't do that. Reminded me of the weird thing that they asked Tyson after the fight. They said, you know, we saw you biting your glove. What was going on with that? Like, were you having an issue with your mouth guard? And he's like, oh, no, I just basically like to bite things. I have this weird thing about biting my glove whenever I box, like during a fight. And then, of course, the guy's like, yeah, let's not talk about that because we all have seen the video of when he bit that guy's ear.
Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano are going to be suspended because of their actions.
I'm sorry, why would Amanda be suspended? Amanda didn't headbutt her. Amanda fought a fair fight.
I know, I didn't
fight.
See it.
She was, it was
so
totally
you didn't watch
stolen.
It.
Well, I watched... Yeah. I watched.
She watched
what
five
I could.
Hours.
No, wait. I watched a couple minutes of the fight on actual Netflix because you know Netflix is terrible. I watched clips afterwards.
This is what I did. I some guys in my neighborhood invited me to play poker, and I went over and played poker and made it to the final table, I guess you could say, and then lost, and still had time to go home and see this fight because it happened so late. Because I knew that's what was going to happen. I texted my son, and I'm like, "Brad, text me when that fight's about to start, so that I can turn it on and watch it." And when he texted me, I turned it on, and it was still 30 minutes before they brought Tyson and Paul out to the ring. So if you want to watch some real boxing without a delay, how about Guns and Hoses? We're going to be giving tickets away to that a little bit later in the 7 o'clock hour today. I've got a pair of tickets to give away every day this week to see Guns and Hoses benefiting Backstoppers at the Enterprise Center November 27th. I'm going to be there for sure.
I'm planning on going.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
be there. It's I've been there every year.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, Carl will be there.
It's my first time, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
my husband's never gone either.
Well, it was a good warm-up for you the other night.
Well, now I think I'm more into it.
You'll
I'm like,
be out
no, you...
by 10:30 that
yeah, thank,
night.
Thank you, Guns N' Hoses.
And
thank
you,
you.
And you won't see a spinning circle of death on the screen either while you're watching it.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to that.
I think Channel 2 is airing it, and we are airing the audio of it here on 97.1 as the official radio partner. So we get to give tickets away. We'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour today, so stay tuned for that. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, I definitely feel like I'm on an island alone.
Election day fallout for a self-described out and proud lesbian who voted for Donald Trump.
The queer people have turned their back on me, and I'm queer. So it's very painful.
Tanya Sivanowski worked for the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016 and voted for Joe Biden in 2020.
I was absolutely the person that would say, if you're a Trump supporter, I don't want you in my life. And I can say that I regret that.
Wow. How about that? This is an LA TV station doing this story, and they seemed shell-shocked that they had to do it. But I wonder how much self-awareness is coming about as a result of this election. Were people who, Kim, identified at one point with the left in this country and then realized that when they saw the light and changed their opinion, they were alienated by people who had supposedly been their best friends and supporters just because of their political point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was just, speaking about my situation, I don't think it was just because I was a Trump supporter. I think it was just all the beliefs I had in general about being a Christian conservative. But I mean, that is in keeping with what Trump basically supports for the most part.
But this lady was a member of the Alphabet Mafia. I mean, the LGBTQ plus group. I mean,
oh, I'm sure she's been isolated.
One supports another. And then, you know, I remember hearing, what's his name? The attorney... drawn a blank this morning, the attorney who's been so vocal on these lawsuits against Donald Trump and how bad they were, and then pointing out that he was suddenly no longer welcome at all of the big parties they would have in the Hamptons and all this stuff. He was no longer invited to those
Dershowitz.
Things. Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz said that. And yet this young lady who's a hard lefty, identified lesbian who was pro Hillary Clinton, pro Joe Biden, suddenly woke up. What do you think it was that made her wake up? Well, it was another thing she identifies with that was apparently a little more important to her. Carl, play cut number 12, please.
What was it?
Israel. I am a Jew, and what was happening on campuses is abhorrent. I think that they should have sent in the National Guard as soon as Jewish students were getting blocked from campuses.
So Tanya began sharing her newfound support for Trump on Instagram.
I think I had like 50 unfollows right away. That's
then after voting Republican in the election, she claims longtime friends and members of her LGBTQ basketball team started pushing her out.
Ever since I publicly said that I was voting for Trump, I am no longer welcome in the social spheres that they provide. So if there was a birthday party that was coming up that I was invited to, I'm now not allowed to attend. I think it is disgusting that someone can push me out of something that they liked me 2 weeks ago, and now they don't just because I voted for someone.
I think a lot of people like this woman who have kind of seen the light, so to speak. I don't know if they're going to go back to the Democratic Party, because even if it weren't about Israel, now she's saying that the party that prides itself, pun intended, on joy and acceptance and inclusion is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
How quickly they'll turn on you.
It's the party that preaches tolerance till you disagree with them.
100%.
They're completely intolerant of disagreement with their own worldview.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like that for years. I've been saying that on this radio program for 10, 15 years now.
Yeah, but don't you think it's gotten more intense?
They're not tolerant of a difference of opinion. The hatred is horrible. And she admitted that there was a time when she hated people that voted for Trump. And now she's sorry that she felt that way. But she finally found something deeper in her, which was her connection to being Jewish, and realized that the party she was supporting did not have Israel's best. Why did my mic just went off, Carl? Didn't it?
I don't know.
I'll finish the sentence for you, Mark.
Okay,
didn't
yes,
have their best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
That is exactly what I was going to say. She finally realized that party did not have their best interest at heart. And I haven't seen the demographic vote yet on how Jews voted in this election. I really hope that a number of them woke up to that. I don't know. I have not seen that. If you have, chime in, because I've not seen anybody break it down, but the Jewish vote specifically. I've heard some things about the black vote and the Hispanic vote, but not the Jewish vote. I'm anxious to hear more about that, for sure. All right, coming up, speaking of voting, we've got Abby Johnson on a little later. I can't wait to talk to her. We've had her on here before, former Planned Parenthood director. We're going to get her on here about 7:35 and talk to her about what happens next. Where do we go next in this country after things like Amendment 3 passed in Missouri? We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.